Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, The King and I, the famed Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, is on stage at the Lyric Opera here in Chicago through May 22nd. The classic Broadway musical is just the latest in the Lyric's commitment to bringing more popular music to the opera stage. This is the fourth year they've brought Rodgers and Hammerstein alive on Wacker Drive. This production features Tony-nominated Broadway star and Evanston native Kate Baldwin in the role of Anna, opposite the King of Siam. Baldwin is a Tony-nominated actress and singer and has performed in several shows, including The Full Monty, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Big Fish, which started its pre-Broadway tryout here in Chicago. Kate Baldwin is phenomenal in this classic theater role, and she's my guest tonight at the big table. Kate Baldwin, welcome to The Download.
I'm so happy to be here.
I mean, it's a tremendous performance. I mean, people are standing at the end. I mean, congratulations on such a great role.
Thank you.
Talk about that role. I mean, Rodgers and Hammerstein, for you as a Broadway star, to be able to perform in a classic role like this, what's that like?
Well, it's kind of the role that you, as when you're a young person starting out, you think, oh, I want to do that someday. That's on my list of women to try out, simply because you get to do so many fun things during it. She is a strong woman. She has things that she believes in, and she gets to come up against a society and a man who is equally as strong as she is that she disagrees with in some ways, but accepts wholeheartedly in other ways. And so it's just, it's a great, you know, mix of a power struggle, also a meeting of the minds, and also a romance that just takes the two of them by surprise. At the same time, it takes the audience by surprise.
Well, it's very big, mm-hmm. But it's also very intimate in the way that your character in The King of Siam, you'll have these scenes where, you know, you learn or the dance scene or even, you know, the classic bedroom scene right before mm-hmm. the intermission, where it just seems like, you know, as big as this musical is, it's as small as the two characters just having a conversation.
Yeah, it's just about those two brains trying to change each other and trying to win each other's respect and, you know, and so, yes, it is. It is about two people having a conversation. And hopefully the conversation is about more than just, do you love me? Do I love you? It's more about a point of view on the world. And hopefully that largesse, you know, or that yeah. size can fill a place like the Lyric Opera.
Well, what a great place to see a Rodgers and Hammerstein
totally.
Musical, the Lyric
yeah.
Opera. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
When approaching a role like Anna, because this is one of the most, I would say, famed roles in Broadway history, for you entering into ready to play that role, what do you do to prepare for that? I mean, is that I'm going to follow the classic law of this character, I'm going to add to it? How do you approach Anna?
Yeah, well, it's tricky, you know. I could go and watch the movie over and over again, or I could go to the library at Lincoln Center and look at other performances and do research that way. But I kind of tend to shy away from that kind of research, because the fun part as an actor is discovering it for yourself and discovering what it means to you and recognizing, you know, I'm old enough and I've been doing this long enough now that I recognize that the only way that the audience is going to believe me is if I believe it. Mm-hmm. And to make myself believe it, I have to investigate it in my own way and make it real for me. So whether it's the way it's always been done or a way that's never been tried before, I have no idea, because it was the way that my heart and my mind and my director and through conversations with him told me to do it.
I mean,
I do research, yes.
Yeah,
so I pick up books about the real Anna, Leonowens, which in this case was somewhat unhelpful, because the real Anna Leonowens kind of made up her history, and which you could do in 1862 before we had Google,
right.
Somebody could research her and say, you weren't really born in Great Britain,
right?
And you didn't have she did not have a proper British education there.
There's no fact checking going on.
There was
process,
no fact checking,
right.
And so there's a really helpful book I read called Bombay Anna that was all about her childhood in India. It's a fascinating read. So if you compare that to the Margaret Langdon book, Anna and the King of Siam, on which the musical is based, you'll find a ton of discrepancies.
Well, that's great. That kind of research is I didn't even think about that. The research I was thinking about is all the performances. I mean, thousands of performances that have been done of this character in King and I. I mean, there's tremendous. I mean, the songs are classic songs that have been taken out and, you know, put into commercials and things like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so much. much on this play. Is it daunting for you or intimidating at all as an actress to say, I'm going to be taking on this role, King and I? It's been done so many times.
No, because you know what? You're already going to like the songs. It's kind of like built in. It's like, right. Here's a softball. It's like called Getting to Know You. And people go, oh, yeah, I love that song. So it's really not a problem.
It's maybe easier,
in that
right?
sense. Yeah.
Well, you've been on both sides. I mean, you've done the, like we talked about, Big Fish, or the pre-Broadway mm-hmm. tryout, where this is new to everybody. Mm-hmm. And now here you are with classics. I mean, yep. do you prefer one way or the other stagecraft?
They both have different challenges. But at the end of the day, the work is the same. The telling of the story is the most important part. And if the audience is not getting the story, then you're not doing your job very well. And that can happen whether it's a story that's been told 1,000 times before or never. But new musicals, you know, producing and rehearsing a new musical is kind of like raising a child.
Yeah.
There are tons of ways you could screw it up, you know, and only a handful of ways that you could do it right.
Well, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that process because you've been through it and you can give us a little bit of insight on how Broadway and musicals work. You know, for this, what I really liked about this production as well is it seemed in the right spot to be at the Lyric Opera because it reminded me more of a historic sort of theater on Broadway. Mm-hmm. There are great theaters in Chicago. Randolph Street has them, but mm-hmm. it seemed like this was an authentic match to have mm-hmm. something like King and I in the Lyric. Do you feel that with the building being as old as it is and also having that Broadway charm?
Yeah. Well, because The King and I has an element of pageantry to it, and because several of the scenes are set in a palace, it sort of makes sense that we're doing it in this beautiful, historic, gilded building that has so much history behind it and was built, you know, right before the stock market crash when, you know, everything was finally, you know, made and beautifully opulent and there was no corner cut for this beautiful building. So yes, in a sense, and since we are wearing ball gowns and we are, you know, dealing with the king, right. it sort of does lend itself to that kind of grandeur, you can say.
Well, we could do a whole show on just the costuming.
I know. Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah, it's so great.
Even just backstage today, I was talking to Rona, who plays Lady Tiang, and I was like, you are so sparkly. Like, you come out, and you're just, like, full of sparkles. She's so beautiful. And then she's wearing just the most beautiful jewelry and the most gorgeous textiles. And, like, poor Mrs. Anna shows up as, you know, a daughter of the empire who is mourning her Prince Albert's death, because this is set in 1862, reign of Queen Victoria. And so she's, you know, in all in black. And then everyone in Siam is just glittering.
It's just
you
so
know?
Sparkly.
It's
yeah.
so beautiful. You know, and like poor Anna has to wait to get some bling, you know.
She gets it.
She gets it finally, yeah.
Kate Baldwin is my guest tonight, Broadway star who plays Anna at The King and I at the Lyric Opera, which is running through May 22nd. Let's take a quick break. We come back more with Kate Baldwin here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Kate Baldwin, Broadway star, Tony nominated, plays Anna in The King and I at the Lyric, which is on stage till the 22nd. It's a tremendous performance. Go see it. Kate, you grew up here in Evanston. What drew you to getting into musical theater?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a good question. I know. Well, I was just actually talking to a group of high school students out in Lyle on Monday, and they asked the same question. When did you know when you wanted to be in musical theater? And I said, when I was 22 and I got my first paycheck.
Yeah, right.
That's when I knew that I could actually do it. Because up until that point, a career in the arts seemed so mysterious, right? Because
right.
I didn't really grow up around people who had made a career out of doing theater or musical theater. There were obviously talented teachers that I had growing up and wonderful, you know, role models. But I remember going to New York my senior year of high school and seeing Chita Rivera, and she at the stage door of A Kiss of the Spider Woman, and she came out and signed autographs for us and was so lovely and so down to earth and real and like took our questions and was really kind to all of us. And I thought, whoa, you know, that's a legend right there. And I thought, if I ever get to be a part of this world, I will treat people with the same kind of kindness.
Well,
that she
it is.
Us.
I mean, it is a world. I mean, yeah. and you're right. I mean, thinking about pursuing a career in the arts can go in several different directions when you're, you know, in college or, you know, I want to be a musician. I want to be an actor. There's so many ways to go to stay on the stage, to move to being on Broadway. That's a specific area to go.
Yeah.
I mean, after seeing Che Rivera on the side, I mean, what was it at that point that you said, you know what, getting into the stagecraft, getting into musical theater, being on stage in front of audiences, that's where I want to go. I don't want to be an alt rocker.
I don't know. I loved musicals ever since I was a little kid. I loved listening to them and jumping around in my room and pretending, you know, acting them out for my friends and my parents. And I started dance classes when I was 6, and I started singing in a choir when I was 8. And then I did all my high school musicals and had a really wonderful teacher throughout high school. And then when I was applying to colleges, I really didn't look at a whole lot of places that had fantastic theater departments, and really the only one was Northwestern University. Mm-hmm. Because at 18 years old, I was unwilling to sort of make a statement and say, this is what I want to do. And so a conservatory would have forced me to narrow things down. And I wasn't ready to do that because I was a pretty good student, and I wanted to, you know, I still wanted to keep, you know, my options open, I suppose. So,
well, why not a conservatory? I mean, I don't know a lot about the directions in which, you know, musical theater performers have to go, but conservatory, and there are a lot of people who go to Northwestern for acting school or in the theater department there. Yep. But tell us about what usually happens. I mean, in a conservatory, people are auditioning in, and then they're just on a faster track to the live, you know, stage arts.
I don't think it's a faster track. I think it's a narrower track. I think your scope of college experience is very finely tuned, and you are expected to your major is more all encompassing. You know, I didn't go to a conservatory, so I can't really speak to what the academic life is of a conservatory student. But there's a lot more emphasis placed on, you know, acting, singing, dancing, and that kind of thing at Northwestern. A theater major has to take a full, you know, complement of liberal arts credits. And so, and those classes are weighted just as heavily as your acting classes are. So I don't know. I think it was helpful for me to take my history classes and my biology classes and, you know, to work that part of my brain as well. 'Cause I think I would have been bored otherwise, you know, just focusing so specifically on just a couple things at such a young age. I wasn't ready to. And so when I graduated from college, I had this wonderful, you know, actually it's a Bachelor of Science in Communication,
right,
with a, you know, emphasis in theater degree, and was lucky enough to audition right away and at the Marriott Lincolnshire, and got a lead role in their show that they were doing that fall, and got an equity card and joined the union, and was all of a sudden, you know, young, inexperienced, and expensive because, you know, an equity,
it's
you
a
know,
good combo,
I was
right?
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, so no, I didn't work for a while makes sense. But the Marriott was nice enough to hire me for another 4 shows, I think. And then I moved to New York, you know, and that was, I was 2 years out of college, and I moved to New York and with just 2 suitcases, and moved in with friends and subletted for the first year that I was there. Lived in 3 different places, 3 different parts of Manhattan, just taking over a room for a friend who was going on a cruise ship or wherever.
And what was that? I mean, I'm fascinated about that life. Yeah. What was it like? I mean, it was just like, sort of like, you know what? I'm going to put myself into this. I'm going to move from place to place. I'm going to go and get in front of as many Broadway auditions as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Like, just talk about that experience.
It was fun because you're just learning about yourself, really. And I'm the type of person who says, oh yeah, I'm right for that part. I'm totally right for, I could play that girl in Rent. Guess what? You can't, Kate. You know, like, that's probably not what you're going to go do. But I didn't know that at the time, so I had to go to the audition and figure it out. You know what I mean? But doing good auditions, even if you don't get the job, is kind of like money in the bank. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that casting director will see you and go, oh yeah, I remember that girl. She was not right for this project, but she is right for this other thing that I have coming up. And if it's, in a way, it's kind of game of stamina and endurance.
Right.
So I think I always think of Michael Caine when he was accepting his Academy Award. And he said, I got this because I hung around the longest because, you know, I just didn't give up. I mean, and that, in a way, I feel that way right now.
That's a huge part of the role. Yeah. Anyone who's in acting, I mean, it's really about how much you can handle.
Yeah.
But the relationships play a big part, too. I mean, Certainly. Obviously, being casting directors, being able to see you and people recognizing your face and your name as you continue on. Mm-hmm. Because Broadway and theater, it's not just about getting the part. There's a lot of other things you can do, whether it be understudy or workshops and rehearsals, and when it comes to new plays, lending your voice and your talent to some stuff, even if you're not going to be the final person on stage at the end.
Well, and because most new musicals take about 10 years from their very first reading or workshop to when they finally get to be on Broadway, chances are you are not going to be the person who, if you are the person who does the very first reading, you probably won't be the person who does it on stage eventually because you'll be too old.
We'll continue the conversation. Kate Baldwin is in studio with me. She's the star of the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, The King and I, which is at the Lyric Opera through the 22nd. We'll continue the conversation here at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the big table, Kate Baldwin, Broadway star who is starring in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, The King and I, at the Lyric Opera through the 22nd of May. Kate is from Evanston, went to Northwestern, has starred in several musicals, Full Monty, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Big Fish, which started here as a pre-Broadway tryout here in Chicago. You know, we were talking about the life in the theater. A lot of people may just think, okay, well, you go in front of a casting director and they like you, and then you're, okay, Kate Baldwin's our star, put her up on the marquee. But there's so many other things that happen in Broadway theater mm-hmm. that people just don't know about, and the rehearsal and the workshop process is mm-hmm. where that happens.
That is where that happens. But, you know, before you can be invited to be part of a workshop or a reading of a new musical, you're probably going to get a job being a swing or an understudy. That's how I started.
What's
so
a swing? Yeah.
A swing is an offstage understudy for multiple smaller roles. So usually in a cast for a musical, you have principal actors and you have an ensemble. And then there are usually people in the ensemble who understudy and cover for when a principal actor takes a day off or has a vacation or is sick or something like that. And then the swing jumps into where that ensemble member left a spot. So the swing really has to understudy every single person or a group of people in the ensemble. And so my very first Broadway job was the Full Monty, and I was an offstage swing for the 6 ensemble ladies in that show, and I learned a lot.
Thinking back to that show, because mm-hmm. you know it was early 2000s, right? Yep. Somewhere there. What was the thing that you take with you in your career from being an offstage swing? What was it about that job? What lesson? The one thing that you took with that said, you know what, this has taught me blank.
That it's sometimes just enough to stand in the right place and say the right words. You know, that's enough. Just keep the ship afloat. You know what I mean? And get out of the way.
That is actually good for actors. They're like, this is my one spot. This is my line. I'm going to put so much into it.
And also, you're not funny. The text is funny. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, it's not your delivery of the joke. It's the joke itself. That was a good lesson that I learned in the Full Monty. And also because I got to watch the Full Monty for about half the time and got to be in it for about half the time. So I sort of had a perspective that, say, the rest of the cast didn't have, because they didn't see what it did on stage or how it looked or how the audience was really reacting. But I got to sit in the audience. I did sit in the audience and watch it because I'm a geek that way and I love musical theater. And this was written by Terrence McNally and Dave Yazbek, mm-hmm. two of, like, I think some of the best craftsmen for musical theater that exist, and directed by Jack O'Brien. I mean, because he's the smartest. So, you know, I got to really sort of learn a lot just by being around and just watching it happen. And then my next job was Thoroughly Modern Millie, and I got to understudy. I was in the ensemble, and I understudied one of the leading characters. So in that way, if there was a corporate ladder of, which there isn't,
about your experience.
Yeah.
You know, like when the next time we talk about relationships, the next time we're like, well, you know, Kate did such a good job here. Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe we can give her more.
Yeah, taking on more responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
That way.
Well, talk about, you know, there's that, being in the ensemble, mm-hmm. and you've been in the ensembles, and mm-hmm. you've done the understudy, to playing a character like Anna where it is about you. I mean, there are scenes in this musical where you're on mm-hmm. stage. When did that become a part of your repertoire where you became a leading lady?
Well, I left Thoroughly Modern Millie, the Broadway show, to go and sort of try out my leading lady kind of chops. I left a Broadway show to go star in leading roles all around the country in regional houses in Washington, D.C., in Boston, in San Diego, in Dallas, all over the country. And I got to play leading roles in classic musicals in fabulous regional houses. And that's where I really learned how to carry a show. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Where you are young and figuring it out and have the trust of the director and really sort of learning how to do it 8 times a week and how to have that stamina and to put the story over
Was it hard when you first had those opportunities? Was that something you had to learn, like how to take care of your voice, deal with the stamina of doing eight shows a week?
I know. It's kind of like being an athlete. Yeah, you really do have to take care of yourself. Well, now I have a five-year-old son, too, and he brings home every germ there is.
Right.
So, or if you just ride the subway in New York, I mean, geez. So you really do have to. That's something, as I've gotten older, that has become more of a problem. I think when I was like 26, 27, 28, I didn't care as much.
There is a part of the theater world where it is about the camaraderie of your cast.
For sure.
You go to the after party, or, you know, all the rap party, things like that.
Definitely.
But you're right. As you get more responsibility, and some of the songs you're singing in The King and I mean, I'm watching you on stage, and I'm just like, that is such command of the human voice.
Thank you. The
ability to do that. But that takes training, and it also takes care.
Well, and also, I started working on these songs from The King and I when I was in college. So that was a good 20 years ago. So to think about how my voice sounded then and the things that I was trying to learn and trying to master with some of these songs, that now, because I've been doing it for so long, just comes so much more easily. And I think to myself, gosh, I was working so hard back then to try to do this thing. But now, just because of my experience and all of the time I've had on stage, it comes so much more easily. I don't have to work so hard.
One of the things I always love and admire about actors, especially Broadway stars, is that the run is not infinite. It will end at some point. Mm-hmm. And you think about this also with actors in Hollywood, where, you know, there is a certain mettle, there's a mental agility that you need to possess to be able to do this, because you could be all the way on the shining lights and the billboard and 6 weeks later out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that? And were you prepared for that as an actress? Because, I mean, you're the highs and the lows, especially when it comes to being employed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, it is a cyclical business, so you can choose to look at the busy times as just that, just busy times. And then you can look at downtime as time to take care of your personal life and to also fill up with other things that are going to help you when that busy time comes along.
Right.
And so this business does break your heart over and over again. I've been a part of 5 Broadway shows, and I don't think I was in any of them for longer than 5 months. So I don't know what it's like to do a long-running Broadway show. You know, like if somebody has done like 10 years of Cats or something.
Right.
I don't know what that's like.
Many actors don't. They
well,
don't.
True, yeah, but you know? Like, but that's like a whole different muscle to, you know, get used to using. And I just know how to do like these quick bursts of make some choices, go out and give it your all, and then have it be done a couple months later. And so in a way, you can look at it as sort of project-oriented. It's going to have a beginning, it's going to have a middle, and it's going to have an end. And you just sort of need to wrap your mind around what that's going to be. And someone early on in my career, I forget who it was, said, your job is not to go on stage 8 times a week and deliver a show. Your job is to audition. And if you can treat that as your highest priority, that if you do good auditions, that will sustain you over a 20-year career.
You know, auditions, I mean, even the best auditioner in the world is going to be rejected.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of how have you dealt with rejection in this industry? Because it's tough. I mean, I only bring it up because people see you on stage and King and I, and they're like, wow, that's amazing. This is such a star. Mm-hmm. But there's still times you will walk into an audition room and they'll be like, okay, next. And you're like, what is that? It's hard for me to fathom that happens, but I'm guessing
well,
that
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, of course it does. Right. Of course it does. But I don't think of it as rejection. I think of it as that wasn't my job, and there's going to be another one that will be my job. And really, honestly, what's the worst thing that they can say? No, thank you. that's not so bad. You know, you still have your family. You still have your friends. You still have a place to live, usually. You still have things to do on a Saturday night. You know right. what I mean? Like, you still are going to have presents for Christmas. Like, it's going to be fine. Your life is going to be fine. And getting that show or not getting that show isn't going to define you. I truly believe that. And actually, you know, that old saying of, like, experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. I think those experiences can make you into a more knowledgeable
right.
person.
A better person.
A
right.
better person, yeah. And those are, like, the good stories that you tell, right. you know, of the part that...
On those Saturday nights with friends,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the part that you didn't get. You're like, oh, man, I really blew it this time. Listen to what happened. You know what I mean? Like that, and
that's
having
a great attitude.
You
yeah.
have to have a sense right. of humor. Otherwise, you know, you jump off a bridge. So, like, that's... I think that just makes... That's why theater people are, like, the most resilient tribe of people that I know, because they figure out how to be optimistic in the face of hearing no all the time.
This job, I mean, it's more than a job. Obviously, it's a pursuit, it's a career, it's a passion, you know, from talking about musical theater, love of it, being 6 years old and dancing at
of
eight
course.
Years old, that kind of stuff. Can you imagine a world without it?
No.
I mean, like, if tomorrow someone said, you know what, Kate, you, I want you to star in the longest industrial commercial. And it's just nonstop for Taco Bell.
How much will they pay me?
They're going to pay you. It's going to be a good living. But you know what? Because of that, you're not going to be able to get back on stage.
I don't know if that kind of world exists. Why does it have to be either or?
Can you imagine a world without the stage?
No, because I think I was born for the stage. It's what I love. You know, other people have said, well, why don't you do more television or more movies or things like that? And I'm like, because I'm not moving. I don't want to move to Los Angeles because I don't want to give up my New York life and my first love, which is telling stories through song. I love singing. I've sung my entire life, and I want to continue to do it. And I actually am at this great point in my career, too, where I'm starting to teach a bit more and pass it on to the next generations and seeing them learn and pick it up and be so good at it at such an early age, better than I was when, you know, I was 22, is so exciting to me that people are interested in it and committed to it and passionate about it, too.
Well, we can't wait to see you in the next project. Once you work, Kate Baldwin, the Tony-nominated Broadway star who is starring in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, The King and I at the Lyric Opera, through May 22nd. Thanks so much for being my guest tonight.
Thank you. It was fun.